Hello, everybody, and welcome to our nutrition support call for the month. This is where we get to ask whatever questions you have about diet and nutrition and want support and help and guidance and recipes and resources and whatever else you might need at this point. So I'm super excited to have you guys here. I'm super excited. This is our last one for the year 2020, and the next time we meet will be in 2021. And just a reminder to you all that we are planning to do a group elimination diet in January, and I'll be sending out probably by next week some getting ready type things. So just ways to get ready for it. And then we'll start in January. I know it's kind of scary for some of you thinking about an elimination diet I've never done. Some of you have done it before, but we're going to just like really take it slowly and guide you through, help and support you to finding any foods that your body's not responding well to. All right. So the way these calls work is that if you have questions, comments, anything you need support about, raise your hand. And the best way to do that is to click on where it says participants, and you'll see at the bottom, it'll have this hand, like you can raise your hand, and that raising your hand puts your name all the way to the top of the queue. So that way I don't have to be going all the way down. And I see that Brenda? Bren 65 has her hand up. And we'll start there. And then I see Paula just put hers up. So anybody that has questions, put them up and I'll see them and they'll be in the order. So Bren, where's Bren? And open your camera if you can, and okay, open up your line. Where are you?
There. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, I don't have a camera. So my question has to do with blood glucose levels, and I read in your material somewhere that if you're trying to heal insulin resistance, you should try and keep your glucose at 110 or below for 3 to 4 weeks to start seeing some results.
Forever and ever is really it, but you want, yeah.
Is that basically,
that's the guideline for not going above it to keep your system as healthy as possible. I mean, okay, every now and then somebody goes above it, but yeah, that's where you want to do. And we have a metabolic reset diet. If you go on the eating for blood sugar balance, you'll see some stuff on there, and you basically can do a 30-day metabolic reset. We have more details in the Sweet Spot program. Are you in the Empowered Lab or just the Nutrition?
The Nutrition Lab.
Okay, yeah. So we don't have the whole Sweet Spot program. In the Empowered Lab, you get access to the complete Sweet Spot program, and it's a step-by-step, week-by-week, 9 weeks, where we take you through how to measure and all that. But in general, keeping it below 110 for at least 3 weeks straight will help reset those insulin receptors. Now, if you go back and you start doing what you were doing before that might have caused it, if you were eating candy bars, I don't know, but it's going to come back. But happens sometimes is, like for me, it was I tested my glucose and blueberries made it go up to 135. Pineapple made it go up to 165. And so I eliminated all of the fruit for the 30 days. And then I was able to slowly add the blueberries back and able to eat them without it going up above 110, but not in maybe huge quantities. And maybe I had to with greens and all that kind of stuff.
So even the spike right after you eat shouldn't be over 110. Is that what you're saying?
That's right. It shouldn't be a spike after you eat. It should be a curve and a peak.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I have a ways to go because usually after I eat, it goes up above that. So.
Yeah. So what we do for 30 days is you find all the foods that make it go above that. So you track mm-hmm. your glucose, you track your food, and you go, oh, look, every time I added, you know, red bell pepper to my meal, it went up above to 140, or pineapple or whatever. And then you eliminate those for 30 days. But there's other things. You have access to the eating for blood sugar balance, and there's some basic guidelines in there.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
you're welcome. So Paula. Hi, Paula.
Hi.
Good to see you. It's been a while.
I know. I'll share a little celebration to start with.
Yes, please.
I'm not in ERC this year, but our small group from last year is having a reunion this Sunday afternoon, this coming Sunday afternoon.
Sweet.
Yes, all of us are having a reunion with Lynn. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Warms my heart. I'm so excited.
So we're looking forward to that. Hi, Jenny. And I did have something I wanted to ask you about. This is about thyroid and iodine. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if you know, but Dr. Alan Christensen has written a new book based on iodine and the thyroid, and the concept based on a lot of research that he has done, that too much iodine is responsible for the prevalence of thyroid disease now, that people are overdoing iodine as a result of consuming so much. And he is insistent on not consuming more than what the daily recommendation is, which I believe is like 240 micrograms, something mm-hmm. like that. So I wanted to get your take on that in terms of what you think about the increase in thyroid issues being related to too much iodine.
You know, I think it's rare that people have too much iodine unless they are supplementing. You know me, I don't let anybody supplement iodine unless they've tested. David Brownstein, he wrote books on iodine as well, he has found that it's the double-edged sword, right? Too little iodine and you get thyroid disease, too much iodine. And so there's a lot of what's called iodophobia, and there's a lot of doctors out there addressing it. Just put that into Google, iodophobia. So we can't be afraid of it because we need iodine to be able to support the thyroid health. So I think it's going to be individual per person, right? If you do a test and you find out that your iodine is very, very low, then you need to supplement with it. But if it's not, we shouldn't be supplementing with it. So there's an in-between. Brownstein is just putting everybody on 25 to 50,000 a day, or grams a day. And Christensen isn't really addressing that there is true thyroid iodine deficiency because our soils are depleted and most people don't eat enough in the way of sea vegetables and sea food. So I think you just have to find out for yourself what the right dose is.
Yes, well, I know you recommended just doing the iodine load test, like from Hakala, to try to figure mm-hmm. that out. Mm-hmm. And so far, I haven't heard Christensen talking about how to actually test for it. This is leading up to a program that he's putting out based on
his book. So let me tell you, there are a lot of things I disagree with him on. Number one, he doesn't think EMFs are a problem. Number two, he doesn't think gluten is a problem.
Right.
And he doesn't get people off of it even when they have Hashimoto's. And there's a number of other things like that. So we come to different conclusions given the same body of evidence. And you know, I've been involved in conversations with him and disagreements amongst practitioners who are like, what do you mean you let your thyroid patients eat gluten? Like, there's been so much evidence. Well, it's not conclusive, et cetera, et cetera. So I think we all have to find the right balance. I'm not, you know, he's very smart. He's very caring. I know some people who've been through his, he called it a metabolic reset,
right?
Metabolism reset. Mm-hmm. And that they were very unhappy with the program because it did not distinguish between some things that were highly processed and things that were whole fresh foods.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, this has become especially interesting to me because I have supplemented quite a bit with iodine over the last couple of years, and my whole iodine picture and symptoms are worse now than they were 3 years ago when I started ERC. So I'm trying to figure out, you know, what's mm-hmm. different, and whether that might be an issue for me.
And it might be, right? And the way you find out is you stop, you reduce it down to the daily, you know, the 250 or whatever micrograms a day. And, you know, you need to do it long enough and retest a couple of times and see if that makes a difference. And if so, then you're sensitive to it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Great. Thank you. All right, who else? Catherine.
Howdy.
Hi.
So, question for you. So, I've got some spirulina powder. I tried it kind of straight up with, you know, a shake, and it was like, ugh. any thoughts for how to use spirulina
powder? Yeah, it's funny you say that. My son had heard about spirulina, you know, he'd heard about my whole life. He goes, you have spirulina, right? I want to take some. I'm going to do it every day. And he came over and he's just like, put it in a cup, put water in it, and then drank it. And I'm like, that's not the way I would highly recommend it. And he was like, oh yeah, I'm going to keep doing this. And he did it like 2 days in a row and then he quit. Okay. It's strong, it's potent, but there are ways that you can mix it. Like I was telling you before, you know, if you have a protein powder, right? I don't know if your protein powder has flavor to it or whatever, but you can make a shake that way. And you only use a little bit in a thing. So I've used spirulina in ice cream. I've used spirulina in desserts, and it's kind of like, oh, it goes great with mint. So you can make spirulina mint patties, whatever, and you put some mint in there with the spirulina because it's green, right? And mint is green. So there's ways that you can disguise the flavor without it being so obnoxious. So putting it in smoothies, when you put it in a big smoothie and you have I like savory smoothies. So I'll have ginger and turmeric and cayenne and other things like that in my smoothie. Jesus, and avocado Christ. And greens. Putting a little of that in there is not a problem.
Cool. I will check that out. I will try that. I've also tried looking through the recipes of yours to see if there was any spirulina, and I keep getting kind of confused by the myriad of resources available. So
yeah, there are a lot.
I'm trying to think.
Oh, you know what? There's a greens. I think there was like on under the Vital Healing Kitchen shows. Uh-huh. I think there's one on greens, like green powders in there.
Okay. I'll look for that.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Thanks.
You're welcome. Who else? Anybody else? You're just all here for the ride? Somebody's got to provide the entertainment tonight. Hey, Jenny.
I just wanted to say to Catherine, you have a delicious recipe called dressing for salad called Tex-Mex, and that has spirulina in it, and you don't taste it at all. It's delicious.
Oh, good.
I think that's in the your sweet spot recipe book.
Great. That's good to know. I don't, you know, so many recipes. Thousands and thousands of recipes over the last years. So I don't remember which ones have which in it. But yeah, anything where you're going to disguise it with something strong, you figure out what you like, that's a strong taste, whether it's on the sweet side like mint, or whether it's more like chipotle would be great, like make a chipotle dressing or something like that. Oh, you know what I also used it in? I made... it's in one of the recipes for holidays. Oh, by the way, I got to tell you guys, and then I'll tell you, I created a page. I don't know if you got the email yet, but I created an actual page because everybody's asking about holiday stuff. And I'm like, you know, you have to go here, you have to go there, you have to go everywhere. So I created a page. You're welcome. It was fun. It took me, you know, half hour, 45 minutes to pull all those resources together, but I knew where everything was. If you guys were trying to figure it out, you wouldn't even know. So they're all together on one page, and there's just a lot of the sweets and the holiday stuff and the desserts. So in one of those recipe books, I did a bunch of frostings. So I made Christmas cookies. So it's with the Christmas cookies. So I made the Christmas cookies, and I made these frostings to put on them. And the green, I made a green one, a red one, and a white one. So the white one was just like plain old macadamia, cashew cheese, something like that. The red one had some blueberries in it. And then the other one had some spirulina in it, spirulina and mint. And it was just a really yummy, sweet frosting that you can put over Christmas cookies. My Christmas cookies, which don't have sugar and flour and all that other stuff. So give those a try. Okay, we have more hands. So we have Brenda, Darcy, and Sharon. All right, so, okay. Okay, you gotta unmute yourself.
Okay, it's Brenda back again, since you didn't have other questions. I was wondering if collagen powder works the same as a protein powder. You know, like in a smoothie, can I use collagen since I have that?
Yeah, collagen powder is a protein, right? Mm-hmm. So the only concern I would have with that is to make sure that it is organic and that it's from pastured animals, because you can get a lot of contamination in there. And if you're sensitive to glutamine, so you may not know that, but for some people who are sensitive to glutamine, it can be a problem.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay. Now, Darcy.
Okay. So I was going to ask about blood sugar. I got a Freestyle Libre.
Yay.
And I got it installed today. So it's been good because I was poking my fingers so much that my fingers were just really sore. And I convinced my doctor finally. But one thing I'm seeing is, like, today I had a green smoothie and then I just felt really tired. I couldn't read my markers yet because I had to wait an hour.
Right.
So by the time I picked up my son from school, I sat down for the next hour and my blood sugar was 99, 115, 122, 110, 126, and then 97. And I'm just sitting there. So I eat really clean, obviously.
What's in your smoothie though? Was there some high glycemic? Well, first of all, before I say anything, the first 24 hours of those Libres can be unstable.
Okay, I wondered.
Yes, I can, right? And it's about, you know, the second day it gets better and it gets better as you go forward. So it stabilizes out. It's weird because they used to have a 10-day sensor and the 10-day sensor had a 24-hour, you know, instead of an hour, you had to wait 24. Now they're saying you only have to wait an hour, but it's still kind of wacky within that first 24. So so they could be that, but I would ask you if it was a smoothie was all you had, right? And that was how long before all this stuff? It was about an hour and a half, maybe.
I had the smoothie about 12:30 and these numbers are about 2:30 on.
12:30, 2:30, yeah, so it's 2 hours. Yeah. Just wait till tomorrow and start looking at it before each meal. Like, what's it in the morning? Make sure that you actually read it regularly. That way you get better graphs. It'll still pick it up, but you just have to extrapolate when it's in between. So I should do mine right now because I haven't done it in hours and I just had my smoothie. So I don't even know what's happening. So you basically, this is how you test your blood sugar when you have one of these meters. Anybody want to see?
Yeah.
Oops, where is it?
There. Yeah, mine is.
Yep. There I am, 80. All right. And that's it. That's all you have to do. What's yours?
74.
74. Okay. Yeah. So pay attention. Like, are you going to have dinner? Have you had dinner already?
I just started.
You just started. Okay. So it's 74 now when you're starting. And then check it, right? You don't have to check it every 15 minutes, but it's fun to check it every 15 minutes because you don't have to poke your finger. So you go, I wonder where it is now. I wonder where it is now.
Yeah. Because it made me wonder, you know, was I not poking my fingers enough before? Because I wasn't expecting it to be so yo-yo-y, but I'll keep watching it.
Yeah, the first 24 hours are not so good. No, yeah, I will say.
Thanks.
All right, good. Thank you. Okay, Sharon.
Hi.
Hi.
I've been following the gluten-free for a number of years now, but I'm just unclear on how gluten affects your thyroid.
Antibodies. So the thyroid antibodies cross-react. There's a number of ways, but the main one is antibodies. The thyroid antibodies, the thyroid tissue will cross-react with the gluten antibody.
So what does it do then?
It can cause an attack on your thyroid. Do you have any autoimmune numbers? Are your numbers on your thyroid? Have you had antithyroglobulin and TPO tested?
I have some fairly recently. I just don't have them in front of me right now.
Do you recall if they were elevated?
I don't know. I can, they're right handy. I can get them and then just, you can come back to me if you want to talk to me.
Yeah. And then it's also, gluten affects the gut. It affects the gut lining, right? And it causes a leaky gut in everybody, but it's usually a transient. But if you eat a lot of it and you eat it over and over, it creates an antibody reaction that's happening on a regular basis because now the leaky gut causes all these foods to go into your bloodstream, you know, the undigested, fully digested proteins to get into your bloodstream. All autoimmune diseases have been found to be linked to leaky gut, and gluten can cause leaky gut.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'll get my numbers and then I'll put my hand up again when I'm ready.
Okay, great. Thank you. Lou.
There we go. I'm unmuted finally. Okay. I hadn't heard of the micro ingredients, which were mentioned in the last call. So I was looking online and that's where I think you said the bamboo powder was coming from.
Mm-hmm.
So how is the bamboo powder supposed to help your hair?
It's loaded with silica.
Okay.
And other minerals. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm new to it. I'm trying it out myself. I just read about it yesterday. So I still have to, read more about it. But yeah, I found it. And you can get all the micro ingredients. You can also get on Amazon Prime. So both.
Okay. And you mentioned the elderberry juice powder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There, I was looking and there was a CoQ10 ultra absorption powder. If you had taken CoQ10 capsules, would you suggest the use of the powder?
I'm always a fan of powders and liquids instead, if you can get it. And then you can also titrate doses, right? With capsules, you're stuck unless you want to open them up. But with the powder, you can actually titrate your dose. And I haven't looked at that, so I don't know what makes their CoQ10 ultra absorbable. So
it says it's water soluble. So I guess that's great to put in smoothies.
Yeah.
Are there any other powders in particular from micro ingredients that you would recommend?
Well, the one I really highly recommend, especially this time of year, is the quercetin. It's a powdered quercetin. Now that does have fat in them. So you do have to either blend it or you need to use one of those little machines that go, swirl around. Does everybody know what I'm talking about when I say that? There's these frothers and you can get them on Amazon and probably in any kitchen store. They're meant to make your latte look cool and so frosted out. But I use them when I want to mix powders and I don't want to take my blender out. So I use it for making hot cocoa and I'll take my cup and I'll put some of my mushroom powders and some cocoa in it and then some coconut milk powder, turn that on, frost it up, and I have a coconut. So same thing with the quercetin. I find that if I just try to stir the quercetin in, it don't work very well. So quercetin is another one of theirs that I like. I have quite a number of theirs. I'll have to go through and before our next herbal class, I'll make sure that I make a list of all the ones that I do have. But I've used that. They have a lecithin, a sunflower lecithin powder that I've used.
All right, your snacks are up here.
Okay.
Your Tony Catchers is here.
Okay.
Somebody else is on.
Yeah, we got people that opened up their lines. There we go.
Yeah, why it takes me so long to get on because I usually keep mine muted. I'm looking here, there's a marshmallow root powder.
I haven't ordered it from them before. I've ordered it from other places, but marshmallow is great as a stomach. When we do the herbal class on the gut stuff, we're going to talk about that. It's a real good healer for the gut and soothing for the gut.
Okay. And they have a milk thistle extract.
I saw that too. And I already have milk thistle seed extract from, Z Natural Foods, but yeah, they're a good company. They're quality stuff. So those would be good things. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just so bad about getting around to ordering things. So if I can order as many things at one time as possible.
Let me think of what else I have there. I've ordered a lot of stuff from them. But those are the main ones that I use a lot. The sunflower lecithin, the quercetin. I just ordered the magnesium citrate and the magnesium glycinate to try. Like I said, I just ordered the bamboo and the elderberry powder because elderberry is an antiviral, very potent, a lot of research on it. And you can just throw some of that in your smoothies or a drink. They had tart cherry juice powder as well.
I don't want to interrupt. What is the company that you're talking about?
It's called Micro Ingredients.
Thank you.
And they sell it on Amazon and they're all organic. And they have mostly herbs, but some of them are like nutrients, like the magnesium and the CoQ10 that Lou was mentioning. And they have it also, you can go to their site, microingredients.com.
And the prices are looking to be anywhere between $18 and $28. Mm-hmm. Well, depending on the size. Yeah.
Yeah. And what I do when I get stuff is as soon as I open the bags and then I put them in glass jars, like a mason jar, so I could seal it tight. Because what I find is most of those things that have a resealable Ziploc, some of the powder gets inside the zip and you can't close it all the way. And then you get moisture inside of it. So once I've opened it, I put them into a glass mason jar and then I put a label on it. And oftentimes what I do is I cut off the front of the bag from them and I tape it to my mason jar so I know what's in there. And then I put a label on the top as well, so it's easy to see from the top or from the side. Good questions. If you see anything else and you want to know, just pop yourself back on and we'll answer that.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks. So we have Denise, Sharon, and CJ. So Denise, go for it.
A quick question, P5P powder. Can you kind of refresh my memory? I mean, something in the B family, can we refresh
Yeah, it's a vitamin B6, and that's the active form of B6. And okay. I talked to you about that related to adrenal health and related to neurotransmitters and related to hormone health in general. And I think we talked about in relation.
Right. What would be the dose?
Dose of B5P is usually, I would say around 25. I often say to people between 25 and 50 because the capsules come in 25s, 35s, and 50s. And
but this is a powder.
Yeah, if you have the powder, try 25. 25 should be fine. 25.
Yep. Milligrams?
At 25 milligrams, yeah. And it's oftentimes really good at bedtime because it helps with the conversion of tryptophan to serotonin and then to melatonin. So it can be helpful at bedtime.
So just at bedtime would be a good...
Yeah, and if you needed a second dose, you could do it in the morning. But I think you'll be fine knowing what I know about
okay.
it. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Our hand and Sharon, what you got there?
Okay, so what antibody were you asking about?
Oh yeah, it was thyroid peroxidase, TPO.
Okay, I've got a thyroid peroxidase AB.
Yes, antibody. That's what it stands for.
Okay, and so you want to know the result?
Yeah.
Less than 2.8, or right. less than 28. Pardon me.
Oh, less than 28.
Yeah. And the reference range is less than 60.
Yeah. So my reference range is less than 10. So it's slightly elevated. So go ahead and, are you sure it's 28? Cause I remember seeing, didn't you have one the other day? And I'm like, whoa, that's really low. 2.0. Cause usually they don't say less than 28. They'll usually say less than 10.
No, it just says less than 28. Range is less than 60.
Less than 60. Okay. Okay. So anti-thyroglobulin.
I don't have that one. I have C-reactive protein. Yeah. And then my T3 and 4 and TSH.
Yeah. So I would say that, you know, you asked about gluten, you've been off of gluten for a long time. You've had thyroid issues for a while. I would say get the anti-thyroglobulin tested.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's what it's called, anti-thyroid?
Anti-thyroglobulin.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
If you want to refresh on any of those, like if you go into the Empowered Self-Care and you go to the Discovery My Imbalances, there's a thing that says learn about lab testing. And I describe each of those tests in there.
Under the learn about lab testing.
Yes. Yeah,
that's the name of the tile?
It's a tile, yep. And it's a PDF. It takes you to a PDF doc.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome, Sharon. Okay, so CJ. Oops, you're muted. Click the button to unmute.
It's fighting me. I'm sorry. Okay, so I am... vacillating on magnesium supplements. I did test low in magnesium. The doctor ordered magnesium oxide, so I just got it at the drugstore real quick to use until I could research it. It's that magnesium oxide is really causing me to have diarrhea. So I went from 1 to 2 to 1, and it did help. You know, occasionally I still have problems with it, but I have, in my research, I have found magnesium kits that are of the different forms. Like yep. one might have five of the magnesium forms, one might have seven of the magnesium forms. Why wouldn't you take one that had the different forms? Because you'll always speak of either, you know, of them singly, glycinate or detrator.
That's a great question. And it could be very helpful to do that. But what I usually like to know is if somebody is going to be sensitive to one form and then they take a batch that has all the forms, they may get diarrhea, constipation, whatever, based on that one form. So I'm always leery of formulation, you know, at least when you're starting out. So I'll start with one. And then, okay, given that you had diarrhea from the oxide, citrate's probably not a great one for you either, because that can cause diarrhea, cause more bowel boom. Okay. So you might want to look at glycinate. Glycinate has been studied a lot for blood sugar balance, big one there. So you might try the glycinate. And you can get it in powdered form. That company I was just talking about, Micronutrients, sells it in powdered form. And I think that Designs for Health may sell it in powdered form as well. I'm a big fan of getting things in liquid or powder, because then you can control the quantity that you're getting. Like if you take a 500 milligram of something, you may only need 100, right? And 500 may cause a problem. Yeah.
Right. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I'll look for that. Thank
Great.
You.
Thank you. Okay, lower hand. And Darcy.
Okay, one more question. Sure. I think I am starting to be one of those people who gets anxious with glutamine. So I just have started noticing that I will feel normal and then I'll take my pills. And then I just feel overwhelmed, even though my to-do list isn't that overwhelming. And so I've started to take out certain pills to see where it's at. And I think that's where it is.
Yeah. It's not uncommon. Have you ever done any genetic testing?
I did. And I need to find someone who can help me with that.
So there's a really great book. Okay. And then we also have our Shine conference from 2018 that we have recordings of that you can go through and learn. But this book is called Genetic Testing, Defining Your Path. Oh, you have it. Okay, good. So did you get that report?
I did.
Okay, so look up to see if you have any GAD SNPs.
Okay.
Glutamic acid decarboxylase. Some others that might, that's the main one that's going to be triggered by glutamine.
Okay. Do I replace it with something else?
For healing your gut?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can go with arabinogalactans, which help to feed the good microbial flora and increase short chain fatty acids. You can also look at things that are more of your mucilage herbs. So like marshmallow. Mm-hmm. Let me just look up one real quick. There's a combination that one of my favorite herbalists likes best, and it's marshmallow with, give me a second. I wrote it down. A copy. Okay, Bergner. Botanic class. Here we go. Okay, so marshmallow. Okay, so marshmallow, calendula, and plantain. Equal amounts. You can do like 1 tablespoon of each 3 times a day. That if you take it as tincture, you'll feel it within 10 minutes if you have some kind of pain or inflammation there. But the tincture, it's in the stomach. Never mind. That's only if it's a reflux. Yeah. So I would say this is a good one. Marshmallow, calendula, and plantain.
Great. Very good. Okay. I'll look that snip up. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. All right, Catherine.
Hi, I forgot to mention when we talked earlier, in the Biocanic, I have the correct seeking health strategy and report now up. We talked before about how I'd done the DNA test with Strategene, and I had
put the wrong
report on the Biocanic. Now I have the right report.
Oh, like good. I am going to look at that.
8 pages or something if you want to look at it.
I thank you so much for that. So what Catherine's talking about is right now I'm mostly telling people to go get 23andMe for genes, and then you use these different reports. But Catherine just tested out, because Ben Lynch just came out with a few weeks back, like 2 months ago, maybe. I don't even think it's that long ago. He came out with a new genetic where he tests the genetics and then does the report. So it's called StrataGene, like it was before, which was his report, but before you had to upload your 23andMe. So Catherine offered to, because I said, oh, I want to go get one so I can see what the difference is between that and 23andMe. So Catherine just loaded hers up for me to look at. So yay, I can't wait. I'm looking forward to seeing it. Thank you. It's this, okay, genetics is like the cutting edge, right? It's like, it's not something that any of us can say they're experts. So if somebody says I'm an expert in genetics, like they really aren't. So because there's no experts, we're all learning this as we go along. We're all finding, they're finding new genes, or they're finding new meanings of the genes and making new correlations. So I've done a lot with it. I've got a lot of experience with it, but I wouldn't in any way, shape or form call myself an expert in it. So I'm constantly wanting to learn more and about what the best tests are. Loved 23andMe up until about 3 years ago, I think, when they cut out, like the FDA got on them and said, you shouldn't be doing these reports. Their reports suck anyway. I will tell you a story about that in a second, but their reports are kind of useless. But they, FDA came down on them and they had to shut down and stop the doing their health report for a long time, but they still did the raw data. But then the FDA came back and said they had to cut some of them out. So they cut some of them out. And the problem is, and I have my suspicions about why, maybe they're conspiracy theories, but what happened was they took out a lot of the ones that I was really looking for good information. So GAD, glutamic acid decarboxylase, it's an enzyme that converts from glutamic acid, which is an excitatory neurotransmitter, to GABA, which is a calming neurotransmitter. And if you have issues there, then you tend to get problems with anxiety. You tend to be hyper. And if you take glutamine and the glutamine gets converted to glutamate, and then the glutamate can't get converted into GABA, then you're like Darcy was just describing, just feeling like kind of agitated and irritable. So they stopped doing, so they only do one or two of those now. There's also a bunch of others that they took out. My theory is that 23andMe was bought by Bayer, and Bayer is a drug company. And that some of the ones that they are not reporting on were ones that we could go, oh, well, here's some things you can do to support yourself nutritionally, so you're not so depressed, so you're not so anxious, so you're not so this, that, and the other thing. And quite frankly, that might be a threat to a drug company and they don't want to report on it. That's just my theory. I'm not generally a conspiracy theorist, except when it comes to drug companies and their ulterior motives. So anyway, that's my theory, but I can't wait to see it. Catherine, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Has anybody else gotten genetic testing done? Yeah, you have. I've looked at yours with you, and Lynn has. Yeah. So there's a lot of great information there if you know what you're looking at. And this is like by far for the average person, right? This is not a textbook. It's written in a language that everybody can understand. You don't have to have a PhD in genetics or biochemistry to understand it. And what happens is you get the report done through 23andMe right now. That's the only one they support. And then on the report, it says you have the SNP and it's red. If they're called SNP, single nucleotide polymorphisms. If they're red, it means mom and dad both did you a number and gave you a gene that wasn't working quite up to par. And you could have 80% reduction in that enzyme that gene codes for. If you have yellow, it means that only one parent did. And we don't know which one, so you can't blame them. You just have to treat them both equally, just like you always have. But if it's yellow, oftentimes it's like 25 to 30 to sometimes 40% impaired functioning of that. So it doesn't mean that you're never going to be able to detoxify this, or that if you have an MTHFR, you have to take folate as a supplement. But if you have a red MTHFR, then it might be helpful either to do it through the diet or to do it through supplementation. So that's kind of in a nutshell. We did a course 2 years ago, yeah, 18, the end of 18, on Shine. It was a 3-day live event. And the whole thing was called Outsmarting Your Genetics, right? Like, how do you learn about these genes so that you can do things lifestyle wise so that you don't end up with a problem, right? So if anybody's interested in that, I think you just go to dredamarie.com and there's a place where products or events or something like that. We have the recordings available. Some of you have gotten it as a bonus and it's good stuff. And I, as part of that, I created these really cool charts that were based on this book, but that you can print out and you can mark on them what SNPs you have. And if you're a DIYer, like I know Catherine's very good at the DIY part, you can basically print it out, DIY, do it yourself, but you can basically print out these charts and you can go through and highlight on my charts. This one's yellow, this one's red. Okay, green is fine. And then it shows you it as a column. Okay, I'm just gonna show you what it looks like. Those of you who are in the Empowered Lab have access to this. So let's see, this was this. And then I'm gonna go to, whoops, I have too many windows open right now. It's unstoppable. Yeah, so in this chart, you can actually then go, okay, what does this SNP do? What are some of the health complications it has? And then what are some of the things you can do to empower yourself? So nutrigenomics. So those of you in the Empowered Lab, you have access to all of these programs and nutrigenomics. And if ever you're in Nutrition Lab and you go, okay, I want to upgrade, you can always do that. Just reach out. We don't have to, just reach out to help desk and they'll help you do that. Let's see. So this is nutrigenomics and these are all the different, you know, lectures and things like that. But you see here interpretation charts. We have this whole set of interpretation, like detox. These are based on the sections of their report. I didn't do every single one in her book, but I just did the ones that I thought were most important. So somebody asked about GAD. Look, I think it's in this. No, I think it's in mental health, mood, sleep, and focus. So what I did was I put together these charts for each of those sections in the book. And here's the name of this, the SNP, the variation. And then here's the function. So this particular one codes for a specific enzymes that degrade estrogen, dopamine, epinephrine, et cetera. And then what kind of health risks? Well, it could cause anxiety, substance abuse, et cetera, et cetera. And then what should you do about it? Well, what should you avoid? What should you increase? And what lab testing might you want to get to support that? So the one that I was just talking about that would predispose you to being really careful. Yeah. So this GAD, this one is the one that we were just talking about that would predispose you to be very careful for glutamine. Okay. And then, so you can look at this and you say, oh, well, anxiety, panic disorder, blah, 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 blah. One of the ones I will point out to you guys, and I know this is beyond the scope of this right now, but since nobody has their hand up, this particular one, detox phase one, if you're a coffee lover and you love your breasts, if this one's red on you, stop drinking coffee. Thank you very much. This one, CYP1A2, it metabolizes about 90% of all the caffeine that comes into your body, but it also metabolizes these estrogen metabolites and helps to get rid of them. And these are the what's called proliferative, the ones that can promote breast cancer growth. And the uterine fibroids, fibrocystic breast cancer, ovarian, and prostate cancer, right? So it's important. This is why I love the genetics piece, is that it's super important to know how your daily behaviors and choices affect your genes, affect your body based on your genes, right? If you have green in that one, then you're probably okay doing coffee, except the tannins might put you in an acidic way. But in terms of breast cancer risk, it's not going to increase it very much. So, yeah, Jenny.
So you were saying then that StrataGene is a different type of DNA report?
Yeah, it's actually right now there's a Stratagene as a report that you can run your 23andMe.
Oh, okay.
They just came out with just about a little over a month ago, they came out with a new genetic test where you send them your swab instead of 23andMe.
They'll
give you based on that. And they claim that they have additional SNPs that the 23andMe doesn't cover.
That's what I was going to ask. Do they cover more because of
that's
all?
That's why I asked. I mentioned it the other day, and Catherine so graciously and said she would upload it because I can look at that and I can compare it and see which additional SNPs we have there, so I can speak more intelligently about it. Yeah, it looks like Jenny. Yeah, lower hand. Yeah, so I'm excited about that, Angie.
Sorry. So if you need a folate, what's the best form maybe? Or are there multiple forms and dosages and things like that?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So if you need folate, the best form is raw green leafy vegetables. Mm-hmm. Right? That's your best way to get it. But if you have a double mutation there, then you may need some additional as supplement. So the one that's going to be the most absorbable and helpful for that genetic SNP is six methyl tetrahydrofolate. Okay, so that's a common form that most of people are making right now. Seeking Help has it. Thorne has it. Most of your good companies have it. So that's your best one. Now there's some considerations which I'm a little careful about supplementing with folate. Number one, if you supplement with folate and you have a B12 deficiency, the folate supplementation can mask the symptoms of a B12 deficiency, like the anemia type symptoms, right? And there's a specific marker called MCV. And you can have this B12 deficiency that's going unchecked because you don't notice it until you create neurologic symptoms, and sometimes irreversible. So I'm always careful is to always, if you're going to supplement with folate, make sure that you supplement with B12, unless you've done a test called MMA, which is the gold standard for B12. And if you have that, then, and it says you're fine, then you're probably fine and you can do that. So you just have to be careful. Now, the other caution with supplementing the methyl folate is if you have another SNP, which we looked at a second ago, it was on that sheet anyway, it's a neurologic one, COMT, C-O-M-T, which impacts estrogen metabolism and brain function. And some people who have that SNP, if you give them a lot of methyl B vitamins, it causes anxiety as well. So with that, that's why I always say it's low and slow with supplementation. Right? You just go little bit, little bit, a little bit. So whenever I'm having somebody supplement with any of the methyl vitamins, I always tell them to get a liquid, like a liposomal liquid, and start with a drop, start with two drops until you get up to the full dose. And if you notice any, like, wow, I'm really feeling irritable, I'm going to chop somebody's head off today. If it continues, if it's not just one thing because your boss was pain today, right? Then you go, oh, okay, something must be happening. Then you back it off. We had somebody came in once in ERC a couple of years ago, and she had this SNP, and she went to a well-meaning but uneducated general practitioner who had just learned about testing for MTHFR. That's all he tested her for. And he goes, oh, you need these methyl B vitamins. And he put her on like huge doses, like 15 milligrams, which is like way over what we would ever put anybody on. And she was a basket case. I mean, she was just like bouncing off the walls. Her anxiety was through the roof. She was cranky. She was irritable. And I went, you get off of that. I haven't seen your genes yet, but I have a feeling you have this. And it turned out she did when she did get her genes tested. But I said, you got to get off of this and you got to go to these other forms, and then we'll gradually move you over. And some of this is discussed in the section of the nutrition lab that talks about nutrients. So you test, you know, do your little tests, and then you read and watch these little videos that we put together for you.
Thank you.
It could take you 2 years to get through all the stuff that you have available to you in just the nutrition lab. I mean, it's like, I look at it and just, I'm shocked that I was able to put it all out in such a short period of time. But it's so, I think it's so important that you know this stuff, that it's not just you're haphazardly supplementing or haphazardly doing dietary interventions. It makes a lot of sense. Yeah, thank you. And Jenny, did you put your hand up again?
I did. I'm sorry.
I just want to make sure I didn't put it down before.
Yeah, no, I keep thinking of these questions I've had for you and I forget them. And then I didn't write everything down like I should. But so, as you know, I struggled trusting myself intuitively for the sway tests and when I want to eat, eating and that sort of thing. And I have talked about, we've talked about how I really am feeling just almost gaggish around fresh greens, even though I live on them in the summertime. For whatever reason, I'm struggling right now. But I found this recipe for a hearty winter salad, and it was basically fennel and cabbage and onions, and I could not eat enough of it.
Nice.
So how long, I mean, I know we should all be focused on having our fresh greens, but if how long can you go without eating fresh greens if you're eating something like cabbage and fennel?
Cabbage is a fresh green.
Is it considered, does it have the same nutrients?
May not have as much chlorophyll as some of the others, but it certainly has a lot of that. So I always consider cabbage in there. And it's here's the thing, right? If you suddenly get this thing, I don't want to eat anything green. I'm in the mood for M&Ms and chocolate chip cookies, yeah. Right? That's not your intuition. That's your, you know, monkey mind, your little inner child who's going, hey, I want to do this. But if you are eating all these great salads and you're like, I just want steamed vegetables tonight. I just want something more hearty and cooked. And then that's more your intuition saying it's cold right now. Right? Yeah. It's cold. And so, you know, I can't even eat anything cooked in the summer. It just like, it turns me off to think about it. So I'm eating all kinds of salads and things like that. And once the weather starts cool, I'm like, I'm dreaming of steamed vegetables like cabbage and cauliflower and broccoli and greens and blending them in my blender and putting in some spices and making a nice warm soup. In fact, I may do that. That was what we had a lot of a couple of times or three times, I think, actually, on the fasting while feasting. And very satisfying and warming and grounding and filling. So, you know, when you can tune in and you've been meditating every day or close to it, right? And that helps you to tune into your intuition more. So before, when you're thinking about what to eat, just sit with just do some breaths, get in touch. And then just ask your body, what do I really want right now? You may get an image, you may get an answer, but you may open the refrigerator and your hand gravitates. Yesterday, I reached for something and I put it back. It just didn't feel like the right thing for me. And I reached for something else, right? And I don't remember what they were, but I went like 2 months of eating tons of fermented vegetables. My husband was making it, kimchi, et cetera. And I'm just loading up my plate like big old. And then I suddenly went to grab it. Like I was just going to put it on myself. I'm like, no, not in the mood for it right now. Not feeling like that's what's drawing me. And now I'm eating more smaller amounts, like more reasonable, normal people amounts. But for that time, my body was probably trying to replenish my flora, right? Yeah. So if you're in a state of anxiety, stress, pissed offness, if that's a word, right? You're just irritated at everybody. Don't trust yourself to be able to intuitively eat. You can't. You have to shift into that parasympathetic. Do heart math, do a little mini meditation, do your red light therapy that you do, whatever it takes for you to calm it down and tune in to what does my body need and want right now. What my taste buds wanted the other day was hot cocoa. And I have told you about my recipe for hot cocoa. My body was not into it. You know, and I've done this long enough that I start to, and I wouldn't consider myself like a Laura Fine who's super into the energy and noticing it. But I remember being in this mode of, I can touch the bottle before I even bring it to me and I can kind of sense it. Because everything has an energy. And you have an energy and you want the things you're putting into your energy to blend and to enhance your energy. And if you ever had the experience when you walk into a room and suddenly you feel like you just want to walk back out, right? Because the energy is just like heavy. Nobody said a word, but you're just feeling that energy. Or you walk into a room and you're like, oh yeah, I want to be here. It's your energy being uplifted by the things that you put in it, on it, and around it. Yeah, good question. So learn to trust it. Like, what if I'm wrong? Oh, well, then I might eat some chocolate when I'm not really supposed to. I might eat some, you know, cooked vegetables instead of raw tonight. Oh, well, you're not going to die by going out of that. Now, after a while, you need the folate, but you're not going to, I don't see you doing that. I see your body just, our bodies are trying to create balance. And once they create balance, then yeah.
I just think, as you know, I have a tendency to, it's all or nothing. And, you know, I'm fortunate that I love vegetables. I love salad. I love greens. So to think that I'm just like almost gagging at the thought of a green salad. So I tried different dressings. It didn't matter. And I think, gosh, that just seems weird. Is this other type of greens and vegetables okay to replace it? And still be getting the nutrition if you want that nutrient dense diet.
It's going to balance itself out. Like, you may have one day where it's not so much. And you know what? Throw some green powder into a elixir or something if you're concerned, right? But I wouldn't worry about it. I wouldn't. It could be just like, you know, the birds go around and they eat a little bit of this plant and then they go to the next one and they go to the next one. They could have just filled up on the one plant, but they get a sense of, I've had enough of this. There may be specific toxins in that one, right? That getting too much of it could be the warming and the cool. It could be the temperature quality of it, that it's getting cooler and your body needs more warming and grounding food.
It's been weeks. And so that was my concern. But I'm still eating veggies and stuff.
You're still eating veggies. It's just not like kale and cauliflower.
Yes.
What about steamed and cooked kind of greens?
Yeah. If it's this hearty salad I was talking about, this is the first time I knew how to cut up a fennel bulb, and it's delicious in the salad, and warm steamed stuff. But to make like what a beautiful summer salad filled with greeny, leafy stuff, I have tried several times to find, oh, it's just the dressing. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm just, I'm not finding the right dressing. It didn't matter.
Trust it. It's not like you're deviating out and you're just going and eating bread and pasta. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. Speaking of pasta, I just ordered from Miracle Noodles. They have the konjac, and they have three different, it turns out they have two of them are organic. I've never ordered. I'd usually like the angel hair, but then I saw that the spaghetti and the fettuccine, they had organic. And I just ordered, you know, now I have a whole bunch of bags of that stuff because it's very filling. And the thing about it is sometimes I'm like, eh, but they said, you know, you just heat it for 2 minutes. You can just throw it in boiling water. Sometimes it's a little hard for me, you know, it's like chewy, and I'd never thought about cooking it before because I just pull it out and throw things on top of it. So you drop it into boiling water for 2 minutes, strain it out, and now you've got this thing that resembles, you know, those thin, well, I'll see what the thin ones were, more like those noodles that you get in a Thai restaurant, but I'll see what the other shapes are, because I've only ever had the angel hair because it was thin, and that's why I wanted it, because it was so thin. And then when I was reading about the spaghetti, I'm like, oh, that's thick. Drop it into boiling water for 2 minutes. So it'll be fun. It's fun to experiment, right? Yeah. Yeah. Food is fun, you know? So Saturday, and if you guys have any suggestions, I haven't seen much in the way of suggestions on the Facebook group. And I asked for that in the email today, so I don't know if anybody responded, but does anybody have any favorite holiday recipes that you're like, oh, I wish that was healthy for me? Because we did it a couple of years ago, Jenny, and we made the most amazing fun things. Yeah.
I absolutely loved my grandmother's candied walnuts and learned how to make them, but you make basically a sugar coating to it.
Okay.
So the walnuts are wonderful for us. I wish that I I mean, I thought about trying to use monk fruit that they have in the sugar form. I don't know if it works that way. When you cook it, I'm not sure, but that's something that I absolutely.
All right. Like. I'll think about that and I'll play around with that one. That's a good one. Anybody else? Yeah. Christine.
Cannolis.
Oh, that's easy. It's already there. I already know how to do them. I made them. I make them all the time.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I can show those again. They're so fun. They're so fun. If you go onto that new page I put up and you look into those, I think maybe last year's class I did cannolis. I may not have. I'll look to see, but I'll make sure that we do cannolis.
Is it on? Does it say holiday recipes?
Yeah, if you go, it was in an email that I sent today. Okay. You didn't get the email? Mm-mm. No, nobody got the email?
I got the for the event, but not an email.
Really? Because Kim said she was going to send it out to go out at about 3 or 4 o'clock today.
I got one today where you were putting up the page that had the
What time do you have approximately? So it did go out. You guys check your spam. I have had so much good stuff going in my spam lately.
No, I checked my spam. I wasn't in there.
Dr. Rita Marie, yeah. I received mine with your holiday recipes.
And
it came in at 1 o'clock Pacific Standard Time.
Yeah, so that's about what we thought. 3 o'clock, 3 o'clock Central, 4 o'clock Eastern. Mm. Yeah. So, Christine, in answer to that, go on to the site and click on where it says Body Freedom Nutrition Lab, and then scroll down to where all the Healing Kitchen and all the recipe things are. And right at the beginning of one of those rows, it says holiday. It's this beautiful picture of an eggnog with some holly in the background. It's a really fun. Okay,
great. Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, great. Okay, so it looks like Lynn Quirin.
Hi. I just checked my spam. It's not there either. But I'll go look for it. Yeah. I woke up in the middle of the night. I thought, oh, I don't have any recipes. And I woke up in the middle of the night and I have a difficult one for you.
Okay, good.
My grandmother made a coconut cake from scratch. So it would take a very long time. And she lived in the deep south and found coconut, cracked it open.
Oh, wow. Fresh and all.
Out. Really from scratch. And then she would cook down sugar and water and add the coconut water to it and drizzle it into the cake. Now I know it's not going to be anything like this.
Yeah.
And I made that. I started making that as an adult and I would make it once a year at Christmas. Yeah. But I haven't made it for a long time.
I will look that up. I will look to see what we can do. Because I have a cake recipe.
Oh.
And yeah, I have cake recipes, but they're not baked.
Yeah. Because
I don't like baking with I don't like using grains, but I also don't like heating and baking with nuts and seeds. So I have a cake recipe. If you go on that sheet, you might see some. The ones that, there's a couple of them that say redo. I think they actually say makeovers on that page. If you scroll down to where the kitchen shows, and you'll see, it was so fun to make those things. I didn't know what they were supposed to taste like. I don't know if they tasted like anything like they were supposed to, but they looked beautiful. And the people who, had submitted those recipe requests were like, whoa, that looks good. So coconut cake sounds delightful for me. So I love coconut. We'll figure out what we can do.
Have you ever tried to use aquafaba for icing? I've seen that a lot lately in different kinds of things.
I haven't, I've seen it used. I just have always been grossed out by that liquid that comes
with
gonzo beans. I just think it's gross. So I have a lot of great icing recipes. If you go on that page and you look at the let me just show you the page so I can remember the name of the book, but I have all kinds of icing recipes in there. All right, so if I go to here and we go to Body Freedom Nutrition Lab. And we scroll down, way down to the section that says, what? How did that picture get there? That was not supposed to be there. Somebody went in and did something. Okay, so here it says holiday recipe guides and videos. Access.
Okay.
Yeah. and there's a whole page. It was a labor of love. So this one, Healthy Holiday Traditions, has all kinds of really nice recipes. So if we open that up, click here to download. It's like 164 pages, and it's got all kinds of recipes in here. So let's see. Healthy Holiday Sweets, Cookies, Cakes, page 88, and Frostings, Dips, and Puddings, 106. So 88. I don't know if this is...
Oh, I see it.
Yeah.
It does have the same photo. I see it.
Yeah, I wonder what happened there. Who knows? Oh, I think... I don't know. Okay, so 88, right? 133. This book needs an update. 133. Okay, let me go back to 88. 96, 92, 88. Okay, so here's a bunch of cake recipes. This is a cheesecake, which is amazing.
I've seen you make that. You made it for your birthday, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. And then some of these have dates in them. This is I need to update this book a little bit. So anywhere where you have dates, if you go to the ice cream recipe book, the last pages in there show you how to substitute if you're trying to stay away from dates. Mm-hmm. How to substitute, like using some chia gel or even Irish moss with stevia or lohan.
Oh, I see the cake.
Isn't that pretty?
Mm-hmm.
Love cake. What's this one? Here, this one might be close already, with a cup of shredded coconut in this.
What's the name of it?
It's called Love Cakes.
Love Cakes.
And then this one is so good. It's very rich, but this date nut tort with raspberry topping. Oh my God. It's so good.
You know, I made that at Hallelujah Acres. Do you know who that is?
Oh yeah, I do.
I went on a retreat there with a friend a long time ago. She was very sick and she said, I don't want to go by myself. And they made that there. It was fabulous. Too high for my blood sugar now. But
you can do it with lohan instead, and you can mix. Right. What I do is I take like a quarter cup of chia gel and I put in either stevia or lohan and blend it together. And that becomes my date, because the date is sweet, but it's also got the volume and the gumminess.
Oh, I see. And add that to the nuts.
Yeah. And this is the frosting that I've done. 4 tablespoons of cashew butter and half of macadamia, quarter cup of raw cacao. So this is a chocolate one. And again, all of these have dates. I'm going to have to go back through this book, but and substitute. But if you go into here, let's see if I go, if it lets me open this in a new page. Okay, let me go back here. I'm going to just show you where you can find, we put it at the back of the, oh, there. Okay. At the back of the ice cream making.
I have that book. I printed that out.
Oh, you did? Yeah. It's a short book, but it's sweet. But at the end, it says low glycemic sweetener options. So you can use low glycemic for dates and raisins that are used in many recipes. So a quarter to half cup of chia gel, depending on recipe, sweetens your desired level with one of the following, and then it goes through here. So it's very easy to get that consistency. Mm. And one of my all-time favorite recipes is the one, where is it located? Oh, I think it's in the dessert, making it rich without oil. It's the one for brownies, the kale brownies. It's got kale in the brownies, but every time I've made them for a potluck or a party, people are like, oh my God, these are the best, what's in it? And it's like walnuts and brownie and kale and something sweet. So here's a whole bunch of different frostings that you can make.
Oh,
so I don't find that I need to have anything. And you can even leave out the dates at all, that volume, and just use some. And I've usually leave out the oil these days. So.
The dates are just the glue and the sweetener.
It's a sweetener and glue, right.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okie dokie. Any last questions? Oh, Sharon has her hand up.
I'm interested in shortbread cookies.
Shortbread cookies. Okay. Okay, you guys are going to challenge me. I'll see what I can do. Okay. Okay. And then we have, let's see.
Christine. I had a question.
Yeah. Oh,
this is Lou. Okay. Still looking at the micro ingredients website.
Yep.
They have something that is hyaluronic acid powder, but also how you can make a facial serum with it. If you're not using it to make the facial serum to put on your body, because it says it's supposed to help with collagen and also support, I think, for your joints.
Yeah. That
helps. Do you use it internally too? I mean,
you can take it internally. Yeah.
So that would be something you could also put in the smoothie.
You could. Uh-huh.
Or they were saying that you needed to mix it up with water to form a gel. So would you make a gel like you do your chia gel?
You know, I've never worked with it. So, you know, it's play with it. Add water. Like if you do that with lecithin and you let it sit, it does form a gel. If you do that with other things like psyllium. So I've never worked with it before in powdered form. I've recommended it to people when they were having like severe arthritis and things like that.
Well, I don't have severe arthritis, but I do have arthritis. So you're thinking that's something that might help then?
It's possible. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Just checking. Didn't want to put too many things in my smoothie. And,
and then find it's too distasteful.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. And what about Christine? Christine Quinn. I get those you guys' last names mixed up. Lynn Quirin and Christine Quinn. All right, Christine. Ask to unmute. There we go. Does it ask you to unmute?
Mine was the cannoli question. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay, good. I've got cannoli. We'll do cannoli.
Okay, sorry.
No worries. Did you ever see my picture of the cannolis? The picture of the cannolis is like unbelievable. All right. And Lynn Grin.
I just had my first ever bone scan, and I don't have the results back, but he said that it was a not much difference, but they're calling for like -1 to -2.5 is osteoporosis. So I'm not sure why. I'm sorry.
What was yours last time?
I just had it done and he just said it's just.
Oh, is this your first one?
I haven't met with, that is my first one. I've never had.
Oh, okay. I thought you said it wasn't much change. Okay.
Oh no, he said it wasn't much bad. It wasn't bad, but I don't see him until next week. So am I going to find everything I need in the bone? Isn't there some
bone health? Eating for bone health. I have recommended the stuff in there and people are coming back to me 12 years later that their doctor's shocked that they still haven't had to go on Fosamax.
Well, he's not recommending that. He's recommending I stay with weightlifting, and he's the new DO. So,
Yeah. So the weightlifting and combined with the stuff that's in there nutritionally, there's some really good recipes in there. Bones don't crack crackers, and there's bone boosting smoothies, and there's all kinds of really good recipes in there.
Okay.
Yeah. Great. And the other thing to look into is, Karen Osborne teaches, and she does an online class in yoga for bone health. And she teaches very specific. She got certified in this, yoga for bone health.
Karen Osborne?
Yeah, go to my food fun. Okay, let me find it. I don't know if it's and, my food fun and fitness, I think it is. Okay. No, let me just try this. Karen. Okay, here we go. My food fun. Here we go. I'll show you. I'll put this in the chat. Okay. And let's see if she has those on the site. But I know she said she's starting up another class in January, like January 8th or something like that. It's online, it's on Zoom. She's a chef for the food, she's a teacher.
Yoga for bone health.
Yeah.
Are there other things I should test? I think I don't know whether I mentioned to you, my grandmother, she died when she was 95. She had severe osteoporosis and she lived off of greens. She was a farmer. It was her favorite food. So I don't know. There had to be some other mitigating circumstances other than what she was eating, unless she was eating something that took away her.
Well, there's things that read that section, watch the videos okay. In there. There's about an hour and a half talk that I do. And then there's a bunch of food prep. I just put the link directly to her Eating for Bone Health.
Okay.
Class. Okay. Yeah. And I highly recommend Karen. She's amazing. She's one of our ERC coaches or the intern coaches. Okay. Yeah. She's really good. Okay. I think that's it. You guys have an awesome rest of the day. This is probably our last time. Come to the thing on Saturday. I'm excited that now we have those kitchen shows on Zoom. We used to have them on a platform where I couldn't see you. You could only see me. Now we're on Zoom. So I get to ask you questions or you get to ask the questions and we get to see each other. So hopefully you can make it on Saturday. And if you think of any other recipes that you're like, oh yeah, my grandmother used to make, then put it in there and I'll try to make it. Okay. Have a great rest of the evening. Thank you for being here and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.